Tom.
Good weekend, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Thanks for kicking off this week with us. Got to tell you, from last week, I think one of the more interesting things that happened is the fact that the Connecticut legislature approved the 10-10 minimum wage. So, will this have any effect on nationally what's happening? I'm going to say no. But in their legislature, they passed the bill last week, 2313 in the Senate, 8754 in their state house, pretty much along party lines. Democrats approved the move, Republicans opposed it, so you know what the numbers, where the numbers stood. And the governor is a Democrat, Daniel Malloy, and he said, look, I'm proud that Connecticut is once again a leader on an issue of national importance. This modest increase, these are his words, will give working families a boost and it will continue to contribute to our economy by getting just a little more money into the pockets of people who spend it. So it's interesting the timing, which is why we lead off with this. So this is just Connecticut, but his push and the push of a Democratic legislature in Connecticut is all about what the politicians are gearing up for across the United States, raising concerns about the growing gap between the poor and the rich. And that's why the president pushed Congress a month or so ago to push up the federal minimum to the same level, 10-10, which it has not gotten any backing, as you know, in the House of Representatives, because that's Republican controlled and this is anti what they see happening because of what would happen to businesses. That's, you know, the other side of it, and making such a big leap with nothing in between. So now Connecticut passing this, approving this, making this law adds to the Democrats' push in the midterms and a real call to action here, because this is what the president will use as what he'll call an important step, I'm sure, in raising wages for state workers and to do it federally. And this has happened, you know, not just in Connecticut, a couple of other places as well. They're doing the same thing in New England. They're talking about the higher wages, pushing that same thing, you know, in the direction of 10-10. Connecticut's minimum wage, just for the record, was $8.70 an hour, $8.70. So the bill would push this into 10-10 over 3 years. That's how long it would take to jump it up. Now, the highest state minimum wage in the United States is right now is Washington. That's $9.32. And federally, I think you all know this, the minimum wage is $7.25. But D.C., the city council there late last year passed a measure raising the minimum wage to $11.50 an hour in 2016. So that's kicking in. And then workers in Sonoma, California have the highest pay rate, $15.38 an hour. So how about this? You know, what is this? What will this do to other states? And will this do anything, like I said, pushing the needle in D.C.? I think it pushes the Democratic agenda, but it doesn't pass because it's not going to go through the House. It won't go through the House, but this will be what we'll hear on the campaign trail for sure. A shout out to, as we start here, to quarterback, former quarterback of the Bills, Jim Kelly. They're saying no surgery now for Kelly. They say it's just not the best option for dealing with his cancer. It's very sad. I think of all the things I've seen online in this past week, you saw a really poignant picture of his wife, Jill. He was laying on a pillow and they were laying on a bed, and you could just see, I mean, you could just see how this has ravaged him. I mean, it can't be eradicated, they say, by surgery. So they think chemotherapy, radiation, probably the best option. He underwent surgery last June to remove something from his upper jaw, and they were expecting that he would have this additional surgery. So really tough, tough, tough form of cancer. If you remember Jim Kelly back in the years, he was always the bridesmaid when it came to winning the Super Bowl, but in 11 seasons with the Bills, he had some phenomenal numbers, and certainly he was a Hall of Famer. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame, in fact, back in 2002, so we wish him well. In my career, I had the chance to talk to him twice, and what a great guy, and what a tough thing to have to deal with. They were hoping the surgery, but did not happen. Our new poll is out. Chris Christie gets cleared in that internal Bridgegate thing last week. So what does it all mean? In a poll of New Jersey folks, it turns out that, guess what? Springsteen, Bruce Springsteen, is much more popular than the governor of New Jersey. And I would say, well, is that a surprise to anyone that a rock star has hands down more popularity than the governor? According to a poll by Fairleigh Dickinson University that they did March 3rd to the 9th, of registered voters in the state of Jersey, 67% have a favorable opinion of the boss, compared to 46% who have a positive view of the Republican governor, who still is considered to be a possible contender for a run at the White House in 2016. But you got to wonder how much the bridge thing dinged him. I've already talked about this in another hour, and I just think it's funny that they would compare Bruce Springsteen to Chris Christie, because there's no doubt. I think there's no doubt as to who would win that anyway, even if Christie was incredibly popular. And I guess the reason for doing the poll and illustrating that is a poll that came out in February of last year gave Christie the highest job approval rating of any New Jersey governor in polling history. You know what it was? This is when he was riding the wave. He was riding the wave. He was at 74%, which, man, you know why Republicans were really looking at him as the guy, even though there was some blowback on Chris Christie from a lot of super, super, super conservatives in the party. With those kind of numbers, of course you'd want to ride those numbers and have him somewhere in the frame anyway when you're looking at a presidential year in 2016. But with the dropping like that, it shows you that there would then be reasons to still have him on the bench, but he wouldn't be considered the number one guy. Of course, it's still early. I mean, here we are, 2014. You really swing into 2015 and forget about it. That's when things start to take a much bigger shape, and a lot can happen in a year. Somebody can come out of left field, somebody we're not expecting. A lot can change in a very, very, very short amount of time. I mean, Ted Cruz's stock could rise a little bit higher. Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, he's out there. He's not in the weeds, certainly. And I would say right now, you know, basing on CPAC and the fact that he won the straw poll, that Rand Paul, if the election were being held in another 8 months, would be the guy. I think that the Republicans would pick him as the candidate. And then the intriguing question would be, who would be on the undercard as the VP for that ticket? But my money's on Rand Paul right now. Like I said, that can change. All right, hang with us. We got a great show for you. Stick with us here on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, love, love.
We head to Moscow now to speak with Jennifer Yavrimeva. She's a prominent Russia expert, an award-winning blogger, columnist, and author. She's got a couple of books out. We'll tell you about those. We're pleased to welcome her to the show. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
So let's talk about Crimea and the annexation of Crimea. What was the reaction in Moscow, and what did you sense from the people around you as to what happened here and ultimately that vote and what happened in the wake of that?
Well, it wasn't hard to take the mood because the mood has been absolutely celebratory since the annexation. And just to give you a really poignant illustration, on Friday night there was a 25-minute firework display in Moscow, and which simultaneously happened down in Simferopol, the Crimean capital, as well as at the military base in Sevastopol. So I really haven't met a single Russian who doesn't think that this is cause for great celebration, long overdue, and that President Putin hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, so speaking of Putin hitting it out of the ballpark, the current state of the Russian people, and now you just describe what they're thinking, so they're overjoyed by this. In the midst of what is controversial outside of Russia, certainly, why is it so different than what we think as Americans or so many other people listening to America Tonight?
Well, Kate, I think that's a really interesting perspective, and the best way to illustrate that, again, with it's always good to do visuals on the radio, isn't it?
Yep.
But when we look at a map of the world in the United States, we see America, North America on one side, and a large sort of clump of Europe on the other side. But when Russians look at their maps that are made here in Russia, they see a very different picture. They see their country, which, of course, is the largest country in the world, but but surrounded by other countries, some of which are traditional allies and some of which are quite hostile. So increasingly, as they see those countries begin to move away politically from them, there is growing concern that the buffer states that protected them in the 20th century are beginning to ebb away. And that's the major concern about Ukraine, as apart from that's the political concern. And, of course, there are many cultural concerns as well.
Yeah, the Russians and the U.S. sanctions, what's the response to that, to what the U.S. is doing?
Well, I think that this is an interesting way that we're seeing warfare take place in the economic theater rather than the military field. Yes, I think that the sanctions are of concern. They were targeted towards Putin's close circle, the people who have come up the ranks with him and succeeded in amassing massive wealth during his tenure as president and prime minister. But we also saw Visa and MasterCard, for example, stop working with three Russian banks. That will begin to hit, you know, Ivan in the street, as we say, hard. And, you know, with a proposed $70 billion of capital flight, that's more than 2013 altogether, and that's just anticipated for this quarter. I think that the economic problems are going to be felt soon and acutely.
Yeah, so saying that you think the economic problems will be solved, and I love that, Ivan in the street, when Ivan in the street starts to feel the pinch, and now they're loving Putin, will that love start to dissipate? And he doesn't want that, right? So you're thinking that, okay, they're going to play maybe let's make a deal, and the relationship will thaw perhaps with the United States?
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Putin has garnered a lot of good feeling here. First, there were the Sochi Olympics and the Paralympics, which really went off without a hitch. Russians felt incredibly proud about that. His approval rating has soared during the events in Crimea. You know, he is very adept at playing the hand he's dealt. He is a very astute political operator, and it will be interesting to see whether he can now kind of bring things to a more cordial footing. We haven't seen any sign of that. What we're seeing on the news here is a lot of coverage of how chaotic things are in Ukraine, how the current government is kind of unraveling, and how Russians, on the other hand, are bringing law, order, and higher pension payments to the citizens of Crimea. This is a message to other, you know, it's a potential message to other eastern, particularly Ukrainian cities, that, you know, if they want to have a referendum too, that's just fine. And everything seems to be in place. So we're watching with a lot of concern about what happens in Ukraine and what happens here at home with the economy.
But seeing what you're seeing on the tube with the Ukraine, that's state-run, isn't it, or no?
Absolutely, yeah. Most television is controlled by the state. So we're seeing a very interesting parallel between the coverage that we get, for example, on CNN, which I have on my local cable bundle here in Moscow, and the state-run television. We often see two very different ways of telling the same story.
Yeah. The Russian attitudes, what are they toward the United States? Or what about Obama? How do the people in Russia feel about Obama?
Well, I think they don't feel that this is his best week. And I think weak is the word that I've most often heard associated with him of late. And there's also a sense that Europe and the United States should be careful about playing in Russia's own backyard.
Ooh. All right, so be careful about playing in the backyard, or else, you know, maybe we're going to bite back.
Well, I think that, you know, the annexation of Crimea is the first time since the breakup of the Soviet Union that Russia has expanded her boundaries. There was a substantive agreement when the Russian Federation formulated itself in 1991 and broke away from the rest of the Soviet Union, that NATO would not encourage any further towards Russia and her traditional buffer state allies. And they feel that this has NATO has really let them down on this, and that it's absolutely unacceptable for the United States to be involved in either fomenting revolution in countries like Ukraine or, indeed, to intervene militarily. So the message is very bellicose. You know, stay away. This is our game.
Yeah. Yeah, as an American writer, but somebody who's lived in Russia for two decades and you speak fluent Russian, what is it like to be an American over there? What's it like for you? What's it been like for the two decades?
Well, like Obama, this is maybe not the best week to be an American. But I have to say that things in Moscow are very business as usual. I'm out and about, walking the streets, going out at night, meeting friends. But I do notice in most of the Russians who I interact with and talk about these events, this is all we're talking about. It's the biggest thing that's going on. There is a sense that, they're saying, you know, we're friends with you and that's great and everything, but, you know, we support the president and we think he's doing the right thing.
Wow. So as you make your way through the streets, I'm thinking this. I used to have a friend that was a basketball player, and he told me that Russia was pretty dangerous with what was happening with crime and whatnot. I mean, you're in Moscow. Do you feel pretty safe, or is it like any other big city?
You know, Moscow's like any other big city. You put your finger on it. There are parts of Moscow that I certainly wouldn't visit on my own, or, you know, even visit at all. But most of the places in the center are quite safe. I will say there's a high police presence for whatever reason. That means that things remain very calm in the streets. So I have no hesitation about being out and about, and it's, you know, spring has finally come, so it's a good time to be out and about.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we have like a minute left. Give us the thumbnail on your book, Lenin Lives Next Door, Marriage, Martinis, and Mayhem in Moscow.
Well, okay, thank you. As the title suggests, it's a rather lighthearted treatment of Russia, Russian history, Russian culture. It's sort of 20 years of my living in Russia. I'm married to a Russian guy who I call HRH, my horrible Russian husband. And if you want to know more about the country and take a trip there without leaving your home, I do think that the book is a good way to do that. You can get it wherever great books are sold and find out more about it on Russia Lite, LITE.com, RussiaLite.com. And I hope everyone will pick it up and take a read.
All right, I love that HRH, by the way. You know, it's so funny. HRH, the my nickname is HRH, but it's Her Royal Highness.
Oh, well, see, this is the thing. See, you caught the humor really quickly. I think you'd enjoy the book, Kate. We'll send you a copy. Because this is, you know, most Russian mothers bring up their sons to believe that they are, you know, from a royal house or something.
I love that. Jennifer Yaremeva, thank you so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Kate. Have a great day.
All right, you too. So how about that? The state of Russia and the Russian people now in the midst of what's going on. You heard it right there from Jennifer, what was being pumped across the tube with the Ukraine, and they'd be happy to hold referendums in other areas. And this is a lot of the stuff that certainly we've been talking about here on America Tonight. Stay with us, everybody.
Self-reliance,
survival supplies,
survival skills,
national experts.
Get it all at the only free to attend national event exclusively for preppers.
This spring in Tulsa,
it's the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo.
A must be there event.
Presented by American Living. This massive expo will include special guests.
David Mays from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers.
Plus GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach via live video conference.
Hear Dr. Bones,
Nurse Amy, and members of the American Prepper Network,
along with many other leading national experts.
Learn life-saving tips, CPR, how to handle crisis situations,
walk through a bomb shelter, and much, much more.
Two big days, April 5th and 6th at the Tulsa Expo Square in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's April 5th and 6th. Doors open at 9 a.m. with absolutely free admission.
Don't miss the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, America's largest emergency preparedness event.
Get your free tickets now.
NPSExpo.com.
That's NPSExpo.com.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, as we start the week off. Over the weekend, the mailbag flooded with all kinds of emails, a lot of it having to do with the missing Malaysian flight. So without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, here we go. This one from Paul, who says, Kate, I've been listening to the show for some time now, and I have to tell you that you're right when you say that all anyone wants to talk about is the flight that's missing and hanging out with some buds and watching the games. I mean, we were focused on what was happening with our brackets, but I got to tell you, in between, there was some conversation about the flight. Most of my friends think it is a terroristic act, that there's more to the story, and a lot of it is probably being covered up. I hope they get to the bottom of it, and I hope that they help those poor families who are freaked out about their families disappearing while they were on a flight that was going to China. Yeah, I think that's the sad part. You see the woman screaming hysterical where they had to pull her out of the room when they were giving the briefings, and the people look exhausted. Of course they are, because they keep doing the same thing day after day. They got that initial shocking phone call, and then they're there, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, waiting, and waiting, and they're not getting any new information, and they're probably watching the tube, watching the cable stations, and picking up all the conversation and what people are saying is the possibilities and the debris and all that kind of stuff. All right, here's another one. This one from Lawrence, who says, believe me, what's gone on in that cockpit, I think they know more than they're saying. The Malaysian people are botching this investigation, and I wonder what the FBI has uncovered. Truly, it'll be a miracle, Kate, if they find that plane. I don't think they find it. I really don't. And if they do, I think it's years from now. Whew, could be. I mean, remember the France flight? Same thing, where they were looking at the black box and all that. But that was a little bit different. I mean, there's just so many vague, bizarre things that happened, and who turned off what in the cockpit, and the fact that there was no cell phone call. So it wasn't like, man, the plane is going down and I'm calling somebody to tell them goodbye, or something stunning is happening on this plane and they're trying to take us hostage or whatever. That was the theory about going up to 45,000 feet, knock the people out, and that's it. You have no problems with the passengers, and then whatever it is you're going to do, boom, you go from there. But I really do think that I just can't believe this is going to be, wow, this was a crazy mechanical failure. Because it was as smooth as silk where they were going. There was nothing that pointed to that they had any kind of problem. So I don't think so. Here we go. This one completely different. This one from Jake in Austin. Kate, I feel for those people buried alive in the mud. Man, I was listening on Saturday morning to some of the stories that were coming in, and it was so frankly sad to hear the people talking about, you know, just pray for us, and that the mud was so thick that they couldn't get to some of the people that they felt were buried underneath their houses or what was left of their houses. So you can imagine what that was like for people who knew people in that town. And I think it's just outside of Seattle. Yeah, I said this earlier, it's north of Seattle, and I agree. I think the sad part is that. And obviously you were watching some of what I was watching, because that's what you kept hearing and seeing, and that was the depressing part, that you got somebody that's maybe you could get to, but you can't get to them. And if you're a rescuer, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to unearth somebody. It's just like when they're looking for people when there's a tornado or an earthquake or anything that anyone's buried underneath, but they couldn't do it. They had to pull them out. They really tried, and it was impossible. So if they were hearing people yell for help and they were looking at those hot spots, it just they just couldn't do it. Let's take a couple of more that are in this direction of the whole Putin thing. And the first one is from Bob in Illinois. Bob says, Kate, you know me, I hate to say this, but I really believe that Putin is on a land grab mission, and why wouldn't he try to take the Ukraine, especially if it's weak? He's already set himself up for that by saying that his troops needed to be there to help them because things were so shaky. So here's now Putin marching further in, and I think that that's what's going to be pretty much the story by the end of the week. I can't imagine we make any moves there, but I can't imagine we have any more diplomatic ties with Russia. What a disaster. Well, what a disaster is right. Think of Russia's relationship with China. Think of Russia's relationship with Iran. The G8 is now the G7. What does this mean? You have the troops that are in mass at the border. They are having problems in Kiev, and we're talking about our own government voting on Monday on the $1 billion to vote whether to send that or not. Then you have the EU and the IMF, and it's bad. I mean, of course it's bad, because I think this crisis is now really critical. This last 4 or 5 days and actually since last week in the referendum, and taking now ownership, if you will, of the Crimea, what happens to the rest of the Ukraine? What happens there to the people who are split on what they want, or actually really 60% more in favor of keeping their independence? But boy, it's not looking good. Let's put it that way. This one from the Big Mac, who says, Putin's on a power play. Obama looks weak. I think he messed up this whole thing. And I don't really know what the U.S. can do at this point other than sit back and watch. If somebody in the Ukraine was hoping we were going to help them, good luck with that. I can't imagine that we can stop what's happening with Russia. And I don't believe that Putin is not going to move in for the rest of the country. It's his for the taking at this point. Yeah, that's the theory. If he's there, the troops are there, why, you know, the Crimea situation, they've already dealt with that. And what Putin said a couple of weeks ago is that they want to make sure that the people are safe, and with all the uprising, and of course with the president bolting a month or so ago, that this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to stabilize this area. But if they've got a really big military contingent on the eastern boundaries that's being described, then with a buildup, that certainly poses a threat. You know, I don't think that they're... I think there's more to this. I think that they're... this is what he'll do. It's got to be appealing. They have an annexation. They could try to do the same thing in the rest of the Ukraine. And I don't know. Let's see what the rest of Europe does. Let's see if there's any kind of a move. Let's see if they make a move. You know, if they make a move to stop anything. Here's another one from the same deal. Sarah says, "Wow, troops all over the place." And, you know, we could swat that Soviet army, but I don't think that we would do that. And, of course, it would be NATO. But if you've got 20,000 infantry guys and air guys and special ops people that are there ready to move if they need to, I think that they'll come up with some reason why. Well, and the reason why would be that you've got people, you know, people who speak Russian in certain areas of the Ukraine, and you have different, you have Ukrainians. I mean, you have pure Ukrainians, people who are Russian who are mixed in there, and so that's what they can say. They can say that there's a conflict and they're trying to protect the people, and it's confusing. I mean, in some of these neighborhoods, and that would be the move for the aggressive move, you know, to go ahead and make that move. Ugh. All right, let's see. Let's take one last one. This one from Pete. Pete says, "Hi, Kate. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I went to see Divergent over the weekend, and I have to say it was pretty good. I think you would like it based on some of the movies that you say that you've seen. It has the futuristic elements that you've talked about in other movies, and I like it because I'm kind of a sci-fi guy, and it's sort of a sci-fi guy. It was interesting. It's futuristic. It is about that, and I like the lead in this. I can't remember her name, but she was excellent. I don't want to give too much of it away because then it won't be fun for anyone who's listening to us right now. But it is going to have a sequel, we know, and this, I think, will continue on and on, kind of like the Harry Potter thing, if you will. Mm. Except for Harry Potter wasn't sci-fi, but yeah, I want to see it. I've heard it is pretty good. And it was huge at the box office. It was number one at the box office, 56 million, something like that. All right, hang with us. Much more to come on the flip side. We'll be right back.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
Honey, look, I'm getting jerky with it.
You're getting what?
Getting jerky with it. I'm getting jerky at jerkyspot.com. They've got over 100 delicious jerkies to choose from, like crunchy maple bacon jerky, cranberry jalapeno, and even liquor-infused beef jerky.
Go to jerkyspot.com today and save $5 on your first order. Use the code TRYJERKYSPOT. Jerkyspot.com. It's all your favorite jerky in one spot.
How about this? 31 of 32, that's the number of NFL coaches, according to the Wall Street Journal, who were in the annual coaches photo taken on Monday at the league meeting in Orlando. The only one missing was, this is a great trivia question, who was missing, was the New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick. Where was Bill Belichick? He must have had something good to do because everybody else showed up, and that says something. Those league meetings are pretty important, and usually they're all there. I'm not sure why he was missing, but otherwise everybody else was in the photo. They should have just put a cardboard cutout of him, right? Or they could have put the Lombardi Trophy there in place of Bill Belichick, since how many times has New England won the Super Bowl with Bill Belichick as coach, even though lately they've been pretty disappointed by the results. The New England fans getting close, but not close enough. Speaking of the NFL, Bummer, the No Fun League says dunking on goalposts will be a penalty in 2014. How about that? So they don't think it's clever anymore. That was one of the things they talked about at the owners' meetings. The NFL VP of officiating, Dean Blandino, says that this is something that we've talked about before. We put in a rule 5 or 6 years ago about it, and now this is a reality. So how about that? So that's one of the big things to look for. I guess they'll have to get, because that happens a lot. So the players will have to just really think about that. It's going to be illegal in 2014. And, no more of that. Like the Lambeau leap and stuff, that's okay. The dunking, not okay at this point. And a lot of players do that. I started to look at tape of it. So 2014 is going to be very interesting because there's going to have to be a lot of reminders not to do that. Many more teams and players did that than I actually even realized. So how about that? Bummer if you like CSI. CSI, a mainstay in the CSI franchise, leaving the series. You know, we normally don't talk about celebrities here very much, but Paul Guilfoyle is bolting after 14 years. For an actor on a series, that's a very long time to be in one spot, so it's good work if you can get it, right? And he played the captain in the show since it debuted in 2000. He's been in all 14 seasons, and now he's decided that that's it. So he's going to bow out, and he'll bow out in May, I guess, is when his final episode will air. So I wonder how that'll happen. They either killed off or, I don't know, that's probably for writers. That has to be kind of got to give them a little bit of a reprieve when they can come up with a way to say goodbye to somebody, because they can be something ill-fated or moving on for promotion or some other thing. But it gives them kind of room, kind of permission to play with whatever has happened with that character, I think, along the way. So, wow, how about that? All right, in the meantime, this is a big number. The deadline's going to slide for enrollees of Obamacare. So we keep hearing March 31st, March 31st. Now you get a little bit of time beyond that. The White House doesn't want to call it an extension. They say it was more like letting people vote past the time the polls closed if they were already in line, because they know there's a surge happening and people are going to get shut out. So what they're saying is, that's interesting, isn't it? You're going to let people vote? After the polls close? So they're saying they're going to let the deadline float until sometime in April. They haven't said the exact date for that, but they will, because remember, they stretched out a bunch of deadlines on this for the Affordable Care Act, and now they're pushing this one, because now people can still sign up for the health insurance on the health exchanges and get the federal subsidies to pay for the premiums. And how many of those people went without health insurance before, we don't know for sure. The estimate is about 15% of Americans don't have health insurance. And one of the big things in the law, one of the big aims for this law, is to get them covered so they get medical care. Those who don't have coverage by March 31st would have to pay a tax, but now that's being extended at least for 2 or 3 weeks. We don't know the exact amount because they haven't released a date, just saying vaguely that it's in April. So you can bet that some people will be able to take advantage of that, I suppose. This is sad. If you like zoos, I guess, if you like lions, I'm a lion person. Since I was a kid, I can remember my aunt lived in San Francisco for a short time, and I can remember going to their zoo. They had a cool zoo, and just wanting to really watch the lions. But this is awful. At the Copenhagen Zoo, after there was a giraffe problem, and they're facing all kinds of protests, by the way, they killed a giraffe to prevent inbreeding, And they say they've had to put they've had to put down four lions, including two cubs, to make room for a new male lion. What? Because that's the whole thing with the pride and how they behave. So two old lions were euthanized, and the cubs were put down because they weren't old enough to fend for themselves, so they would have been killed by the new male lion. They hope the new male and two females will form the nucleus of a new pride. And this is the same zoo in Copenhagen where there were a bunch of protests because they killed a two-year-old giraffe, and then fed its remains to the lions as the visitors watched. Are you kidding me? How did they think that it was going to be okay for the visitors to see that? And that nobody was going to be upset by that? Oh, in this country, oh, it'd be a massive protest. It was pretty bad there, but it'd be even worse if that had happened here. I mean, where do they think it is? Is this in the zoo handbook? Well, if you have to do it, well, you got to use it. And see, I understand if they were going to do that, but to do it in front of people, wow. I mean, come on. Yeah, that was bad. All right, you know how if you see a lot of people from China on flights and they have masks covering themselves because they're worried about what their kind of virus they could catch or that kind of thing. Air pollution, they say, this is the WHO, is the cause of 7 million deaths a year and is the single largest environmental health risk. This is a new report out by the World Health Organization. And they say that certain cities and countries around the world have reputations as pollution hotspots. China is well documented as one of those places. Dangerous air pollution, and they say it's the nuclear winter there. That's what they call it. Beijing had zero visibility for nearly a week. The sun was blocked to the extent that it started to hurt the food chain there. Paris is also on the list. It's a close number two. And then Tehran, they're talking about how in Iran, how air pollution there killed over 4,400 people over the course of a year. So they even closed down the city for 5 days to keep cars off the road because the air pollution is pretty brutal, caused by the filthy fuel that they have had after the sanctions, by the way, by the U.S. in 2010 on refined gasoline. So these sanctions can have an impact. And the World Health Organization says 4.3 million deaths were caused by indoor air pollution in 2012 in households that cooked over coal, wood, and other stoves, biomass stoves. So how about that? Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight. Any thoughts on the show? Send them to us, americatonight.net.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.